What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome in. Nice spring weather out finally. Just finished watching Augusta on Easter Sunday. Doesn't get much better than that. You're listening to Bolt Brady and his bro. It's the best place for your sports gambling information. It's welcome in, Bolt.
And I watched a boatload of the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
I probably watched as much as some of the players' relatives.
Well, if you could find the coverage or ESPN Plus, whatever you had to use.
No, you know what? I know a lot of our friends were complaining. If you just go to masters.com, and we actually even did that on our TV. You just, you know, you go to the internet app on the TV.
Yeah, no, I did it. All, you know, especially those first couple of days. It does the featured groups and aim and corner and stuff. It's just when it comes to the network coverage, everyone rips into CBS and stuff because it's delayed or they weren't showing like the guys that were the back group like for the first five holes. It was a little odd sometimes in the show.
But without capping on them, one thing that I did take away from that, though, is you know, Jim Nantz obviously is a baller when he announces it, but Trevor Immelman, I think, does a really, really good job also.
Yep. Yeah, he slipped into Faldo's seat, and he's doing great.
Okay, now speaking about the broadcast, did you see this? Is incredible. Did you see when they were interviewing Rory during the middle of the tournament?
Oh, when they throw in the ear pods. Yeah.
Oh, yep. So I see Big Roar with the ear pods in, and I go, what's going on here? And then you hear Trevor Immelman go, so Roar, hey, thanks a lot for joining us today. And I go, are we shitting me right now?
Uh-huh.
This guy, because I think at the time he was like two over, too, in the beginning of his round, because his was round one.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting here shaking my head. And then later in the broadcast, the next day, they brought on Justin Thomas. And this guy is barely making the cut at the time. He was like on hole 16.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot believe these guys are doing it. I'm thinking there's no way Tiger would do this. You know, there's no way Brooks would do this. These guys are zoning in. And guess which two guys missed the cut?
Yep.
Incredible.
I did. Rory was on number 9, and it was like, you know, he had like the 9 iron and hit it up there, and he leaves the butt in while he hit the shot,
right?
And then starts talking to him after. He's like, what'd you think there, like, about the result, etc. And I'm just like, wow,
dude, maybe if this is the Children's Shriner, you know, PGA event
in Las Vegas.
But when we're firing at the Masters and you're trying to get all four majors, you know, to get, and this is the last one you need, and you're chitting away, not the play. Even Nick Faldo goes, get serious.
I saw him. He was like, why? Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah.
It can do nothing but distract you, and this is a major.
Yeah, so that was not the play.
Yeah, Thomas was like plus one when he did it, and then he finished it, I think, plus four. But him going up is what cut Tiger into the cut line.
Yep, I saw that. And then, you know, Big Tiger, wow, was that guy the automatic fade this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Tigre, you've provided a lot of great moments for us in golf, but right now you provide a lot of great betting moments because going against you is the automatic fade. Our boy Seamus Power, that wasn't even close. Seamus took it to you. But one thing that I will give props to Tiger that I noticed, okay, get serious on this stat. So Tigre back in 2007 when he was just dominating everyone, okay, Rom and Scotty Scheff and Rory were all 8-1 favorites before this tournament started, right? So you put down $100 and you'd win $800 if one of those guys won. Tigre back in 2007 was minus 125.
Wow.
Yeah. Before the tournament started, minus 125 to win the whole thing. And let me put that in perspective for everyone. This guy that's the head trader at PointsBet, you know, like a sports book, he said, to give you an idea what that means is Rory would have to start the tournament ahead of everyone by 6 strokes for us to make him minus 125.
Huh, like the FedEx Cup final when you get the lead if you're the guy first.
That's what it would be like for to be a minus 125 to start the tourney. Is that incredible?
You just don't see that in golf because they're like, it's so hard to pick the winner. You're going to make this guy minus 125.
Right. Is that peer domination?
Yeah, his little 10-year run there, I know they would always show his percentage of how many times he teed it up. He won like 26% of the time.
Yeah, that's a joker. So every four tournaments, he's getting a W. No, he's at 26 because at one point he was up by like 30. It's probably maybe it's gone down, you know. But when he was at his prime, no, I remember it was like 30%.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty incredible. So anyway, bummer. I mean, dude, I saw him hobbling around that second round, and I go, I don't care who he's playing right now. I'm gonna take that other guy, and sure enough, you know.
It got cold, it got wet, and then those hills, it's just, I don't know if he's ever going to get around that place smoothly.
No, yeah, we've had some buddies that go there, and they said, dude, you can't tell how hilly it is on TV. It's, you know, there's hills all over. And that's the whole thing, dude. And anyone that knows, like, having an injury, it doesn't matter if he's walking down hills or not. He's limp. He limps, even on the flat ground.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just props for him to even be able to out there compete and make the cut when JT and Rory can't, and they're the 100%,
dude,
and they're, like, 20 years younger than him. So it was an accomplishment for him to make the cut. And then, you know, he obviously got 24 years in a row making the cut. And that's when he goes, guys, this is T. Gray. I'm out of here the rest of the tournament.
JT had the wedding ring on, too. I think he's newly married the last like year. I'm like, we can ditch that during the round two, bud.
Well, you know what's funny? You notice that. I saw that, too. And I'm like, dude, these guys packing it in when they're in the prime of their careers, making super big chips and still super young, and they tie the knot. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. I remember 2012, the U.S. Open came to San Francisco at Olympic.
Yep.
And I think I told you I was following a couple of groups, and Bill Haas, you know, he was late 20s at the time, and his gal, like his wife, was kind of like going, like, Bill, because they have the food and beverage on some of the holes, like the free coolers and stuff.
Right.
She's like, throw me a water.
Like, wow.
And he's like, huh? And he like turns around and like, dude, zip it. I'm in the middle of the U.S. Open here. Do not say a word to me.
Those guys Derek Jeter needed to have a chit with them and say, guys, why don't you tie the knot when you're about 43? And go have a decent time out here.
Zone it in.
Big time.
Yeah, Rory, you know, I don't, he's going to have a problem. I don't think he's going to win the Masters. He just mentally is so tight and wants the Grand Slam so bad, he just can't settle in.
And what's crazy is he had his best opening round, the 72, which isn't great, but so you thought, okay, here we go. And then it just wasn't happening.
Did you see he dropped out this week of the Hilton Head?
I did notice that. I didn't see why. Did he give a reason why?
He hasn't, but you know, they designate those 12 events now a year, which you're supposed to go to them if you're within the top 20.
Okay.
And you can miss one. And if you miss another, it has to be excused by injury or something. But from Monahan, the commissioner, he missed the opening one, the Century in Maui.
Oh.
So this one's unexcused, and they're like, the rule is, I guess they can take that player impact money. And he took second last year, which was $12 million.
Really?
So they're like, they might take a chunk of that, and Rory's like, whatever, you know. It's not about the chips right now. But he's obviously not feeling great about his Masters performance.
No, that was not great.
He's like, I shouldn't have done the earbud, probably.
No, the earbud was not the play. His team, quote-unquote team, should have never let that happen.
What'd you think about Rahm and Brooksor on Sunday?
Well, before we get to Sunday, I mean, that first day was legit, right? Big Victor Hovland just comes out of nowhere. I mean, everyone's always known that his irons are the strongest part of his game, but his putting is what lets him down, and he was on fire with that. And so the three of them finished -7 after the first day. And, you know, we always talk about following us on Twitter and Instagram. I actually tweeted out on Friday night. It was quite honestly the best bet, you know, one of the best bets that I've seen this entire year. It was you could get Brooks to finish in the top six plus 105. And after that first round, you got to be kidding me if you don't think Brooks was going to be in the top six. So I tweeted that out. And then also Brooks, I tweeted out Brooks versus J-Day, big J-Day. I'm like, the rain's coming and J-Day's going down.
Oh, yeah. We always say he can't buckle up.
No, he's not the grinder. So Brooks took him down there, which was nice. And so I actually started loading up on Brooks to win it, the tournament, though, too. But I was concerned that Big Rom was behind him. He's one of the few guys that I'm like, that sucks. He's behind him.
He was kind of spraying it a little bit the first few rounds, especially with the driver. And you can spray it there and get away with it off the tee. You know, you can get behind some trees or a little bit of pine straw, but you can always recover there for the most part.
Yeah, those fairways are huge.
They can just find some gaps, but then he tightened up the driver on Sunday.
Yeah, it was pure domination on Sunday. I mean,
yeah, the drama was gone.
Dude, well, Brooks went 16 holes without a birdie in a row. I mean, that's not cutting her.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I could go out there and get a birdie within the 16 holes. Some of those, like those par fives, I mean, they're not that hard. I mean, granted, I wouldn't be going for them in two like those guys. But I would go down to 100 yards out and then throw a dizzy to about 6 feet, and that's auto from there. And that's how I'd get my birdie.
just Corey Pavin up the fairway.
I'll go Zach Johns.
He's a little more modern.
Yeah. He's more modern, and he got the Masters.
Yep.
He got the Masters underneath him. Yeah.
And one of the coldest weather ones ever.
Right, which they always say that's going to benefit the long hitters. But, you know, Zach throws the darts like I do with the wedge.
Yeah, Brooks, that you know, he played 30 holes on Sunday. I don't know if, like, the schedule caught up with him. He just kind of ran out of juice. But that opening tee shot, round four.
Oh, jeepers.
Hard left. They were all going three wood, if you noticed, on one, two. And he ended up in nine fairway. But far enough left to get a good look. His caddy got a really good number for him, and he still put it on the green.
Yeah, I know. And so then once he got on the green, I'm like, okay, here we go. But he's always such a confident guy that's like, you know, like he's got the chest up. And you could just see that chest going further and further down, shoulders getting slumped over as the round went. And I look at the boys and I go, this thing's over with. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, put it away. But should we tell the listeners what place I took out of 496 entries?
I'm sure they'd love to hear it.
I'm happy to say that I was in a big golf contest, 496 guys, and I tied with one other person for first place.
Nice play.
Yes, it was. So even though I wanted Brooks, I bet on Brooks individually, I was cheering for Rom because he was a part of my team that helped take first.
Yeah.
So I think, and remember before when we chatted about this and I said Rom is probably sitting in the kitchen right now looking at the odds just like we are, and he's pissed off to see Scotty and Rory ahead of him. I meant to tell you, in one of his interviews, it was like after, you know, the second or third round, they go, well, you were the odds on favorite. And Rom goes, actually, no, I was third on the list.
Yep.
And so there it was, ladies and gentlemen. He was staring at the odds.
I'd like to know Rom's schedule at home, because he just doesn't look like he gets after it, like gym wise and stuff, as hard as some of the other dudes.
No, not with that pop pilly. No, there's no way.
He's got obviously some gifted hands and stuff, but oh. Yeah, I don't think he grinds the gym.
Well, and that fourth round, the last round, Nance was like, and both of these guys just built like, you know, tigers or something like that, like implying like these guys were like yoked or whatever. And I'm like, Rom, I mean, he's bigger because of the pot belly. It's not like this guy's got pipes or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's obviously solid. He doesn't let the his emotions get him as badly as it used to.
He slammed a little bit of a driver here and there, but yeah, it's maybe a touch better than it was.
But I mean, you want him to be emotional, you know? I mean, Tigre'd get pleased. I mean, he drops the F-bomb still.
Yep. Yeah, Jim was probably running out of things to say. I mean, Phil and Jordan had some good rounds, but it was too little too late.
Yep. I mean, I was wrong on Phil. I said, light the money on fire. And Phil goes, yeah, right.
65-er.
Lowest round ever for him on a Sunday. I mean, that just came out of left field. I mean, he's firing the 78ers on LIV.
Yeah, this place obviously gets him excited.
You know, and it was just weird to see, you know, he wasn't in comfortable in front of the camera, but he was juiced after that 65. I mean, did you see the smile on his face?
Mm-hmm. He looks way different. He looks like, you know, he's thinner and looks like a little, I don't know, older or something now because of the weight loss.
Well, I think he's probably aged during this whole LIV process.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not eating as much. He's aging. I mean, I'm sure it's wearing him down a little bit.
Yeah. He had said, you know, talking to the reporters Friday afternoon, he's like, it's about to come. And he goes, I can feel it. And so he called it.
He did. And he balled. And then Big Jordo made the run. I mean, Jordo in round three, like two out of three holes, he went in the water.
Shot a 76.
Jeepers. So, I mean, that course, it's just fun to watch people play because it brings the best out of everyone. Everyone wants to win that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
That amateur balled.
Yeah, Bennett, geez, and then he hopped on a plane, and he's playing in Santa Cruz for 2 days in a row, like the intercollegiate.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I turned on Golf Channel last night, and he's there representing Texas A&M. It's like a two-day event.
Wow, is he cruising around that place like a superstar?
He was in fifth, I think, last night when I had looked. I'm like, geez, this guy's just like, keep her going.
Yeah, he's flying high.
Yep, turned pro soon, but he had a great week.
Right.
So, yep, always fun to watch. Love the Masters. Everyone knows all those holes, and it was nice out. So it's always a great watch.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say about it. Do you? Before we jump into the big NBA playoffs here?
Nope. Let's get rocking on some hoops.
Yeah, and we're kind of rolling here with the March Mad and the PGA, or let's see if we can pick some more winners here at the NBA playoffs.
Yep. So there's a couple play-in games, I guess. You know, you got the Pelicans and Lake Show tonight.
Or Lake Show in Minnesota.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Did you see Gobert has to sit it out because he threw the punch?
Yeah. He called him the bitch or whatever he said, and he threw the punch. And then the other sap on their team hit the wall and broke his hand.
Right.
What a joker. But this line started off at like 6, and now it's up to 8.5. Might even reach the 9er. I think if it gets up to 9, I might fire on the Timberwolves. Might be getting a little too high. I mean, LeBron's back. I mean, when was the last time LeBron played? Like, they're just going to be coming out humming. I think what I like in that game is under the 232. And so I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on it to start the game. And then if they start off at all slow, and what I mean by that is like within the first 2 minutes, if they've only got like 5, 6, 8 points max combined, I'm firing on the total under end game. That's what I'm doing.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Anthony Davis has finally kind of showed up a little more consistently and putting up the numbers again.
Well, they're talking about the Lake Show like they're legit. I'm like, dude, they're not. Like, I mean, they've got LeBron. He'll turn on an extra gear for the playoffs, but come on. I mean, like, people even chitting about them getting out of the West. That's not happening.
No. I mean, I think they're just way better than they were, and it's always a topic to cover on the Sports Center and stuff because it's got LeBron.
Right. I mean, the play-in games, they're nice because it's an opportunity for us to get more action and watch more games. I mean, I think there's like at least 2 weeks in a row where I think there's like hoops every day, which is fantastic. Mm,
yeah, TNT has the games rocking.
I mean, is that any good? But, you know, these play-in games, okay, great, whatever. Let's get it situated and let's start rocking and rolling.
I mean, the guys that are in 7th and 8th don't love these play-in games. Like, you know, we kind of locked this thing up. Why do we have to play another game here?
Right, after they do that. Well, let's start with the West here. All right. We got Big Denver is the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2 seeds, Memphis. And then we got Sacktown making the playoffs for the first time in 19 years. And then you've got the Suns at 4. The clips at 5. Worry about the clips.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for playing, guys. You're not going to do diddly squat in this thing. And then at number 6, we could probably stop there. It is your Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I find interesting. So they play Sactown in the first series. So it's the Battle of NorCal. And even though the Warriors are the 6th seed and Sac's the 3rd seed, the Warriors are the favorite to win that. What is your take to win that series? Minus 200, actually.
Yeah. I mean, exciting one, right? These are probably the two teams we know the best. We live right by them. So that's super cool. I wish they weren't playing each other earlier in the Western Conference. I wish they kind of wait till later in the round.
Right.
I was seeing the prices were coming out, you know, and it's been such a long drought up here. It's cost more to see the games in SAC than it's going to cost to see it at the Chase Center in San Fran.
No way.
The average price, they were showing the thing, like the StubHub thing. It was second level, like you weren't down low. And it was average of $444.
Wow.
And then the average price at the Chase Center for game 3 was $222.
Dude, and the Chase Center's like usually chips.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's not a far drive for those of you that don't know. It's like you can drive up from Golden State to SAC. It's like an hour and 10 minutes at the most. So it's like some of these people are like, let's come on up.
Let's do both.
Or just the Silicon Valley people throw the money at it and be like, I don't care. You know, I want the seats.
Yeah. I just went to the SAC game against the Spurs recently. And the SAC, the Kings, I mean, their fans are going to bring it. Like, those home games are going to be legit. All the home games are going to be legit. The question is how SAC going to play in their first playoff series in many, many years?
Mm-hmm.
And the first game is actually, was the line, I think Sac's -1 at home, which isn't very much, obviously. That's a lot of respect for the War Dogs. I think Sactown probably gets the first game.
I don't know about that.
You think the War's kind of, well, here is what I will agree with. So the War Dogs, I don't know if you know this, but they had the worst record against the spread on the road this year.
No, I know they're terrible on the road. It's the worst ever for a defending champion to have the record they had on the road.
Okay, it was 12 wins and 29 losses.
Terrible.
Right. But that gets completely thrown out the door for the playoffs. It does not matter at all. And I do think that the War Dogs will take a game from them on the road, and then it's ball game. Because the War Dogs are not losing at home.
No.
I mean, they are jokers at home. Last year, I rolled with them. I don't want to say every game they were at home, but I would say 80% of their games, I didn't even mess with the line. I just said money line, which sometimes was expensive. Sometimes it was like -330, and I said worry about it because they're getting the W here.
Right.
And I think they lost one game at home last year in the playoffs. So, telling everyone out there again, I'm going to be firing on the War Dogs money line every time they're at home. I mean, good luck trying to beat that squad at home.
Yeah. I mean, they've been playing better here this last few weeks down the stretch, too. They know the playoffs are coming. They're looking better. And then they still, what they say about Wiggins, you know, he's like, I think I'd like to get back, but they have to assess his stamina and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? You know, I mean, they've obviously played a boatload of games without him. And I mean, we want him back, but dude, listen, it's the big Clay and it's the big Steph and Draymond. And when those three play together in the playoffs, they're undefeated, like as far as taking playoff series, because it doesn't happen very often. I mean, even go back to when Clay and Steph were playing against Cleveland, and then Draymond had the technical fouls and got dismissed for the game. So that doesn't count as them playing a whole series together. Mm-hmm. I think they're like 4-0 when they get to play a whole series together. We'll stand by.
Yeah, that technical cost them that title that year.
It sure did.
When Kyrie hit the game 7 shot.
It sure did. Yeah, that didn't help. But maybe big Draymond has matured more since then, once the playoffs start.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to watch that one kick off. That one kicks off Saturday. So, I like the Warriors coming out of that and beyond.
Yep. Well, why don't we talk about who we think is going to come out. Let's just, we'll just touch on quickly these other series. So, how about Phoenix and the Clips?
Phoenix.
And then who's going to meet in the Western Conference Finals and move on from there? Who do you, who's your squad to move on from the Western Conference?
I think the Warriors are coming out of the West.
I agree. And actually, I said it at the beginning of the year on the Believe Network. It's documented as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, I had the Warriors.
Okay. All right. So let's go. Let's move on over to the East here. And everyone is chitting about the East. Sorry, Denver. We didn't give the Nugs much run right there.
Well, that's where they're feeling a little disrespected.
The number one seed. And we just kind of go, we'll just move on past you, not even mention you
in this
NBA preview. We're going to move over to the East. That's what everyone's chitting about anyway. I think they actually have the three odds on favorites. Milwaukee, Boston, and I think the 76ers.
Which, come on.
Dude, come on big time. I mean, here goes the East Coast bias again. Get serious.
If you have Harden running your show, like it's not happening in the playoffs.
Dude, I totally agree. I'm like, these people that keep talking about the 76ers, I don't think so.
You know where you could have me there, Doc, is if you call up my boy Mac McClung.
No kidding.
And give him some six minutes.
Yes, exactly. Then we might have a different story there. He'll come in and yak on everyone.
He did get called up the last two games, I was telling you. The finale, he had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists.
Okay, well, that's what we'd like to see.
Come on, Doc.
I will say about the East, get ready for my boy Donovan Mitchell in the Cavaliers. He's got something to show.
Wide. Wow.
And he's got some serious hops, too, when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down the lane, and he goes, get out of my way, or you're going to get dipped on. And then Philadelphia plays the Nets. Okay, just garb series there.
Yeah.
And then the play-in, it looks like, so the winner of the 7-8 goes on and plays Boston. So that'll probably be big Miami. Because Atlanta, wow, Trey, you get your points because you shoot a small amount, buddy.
Never loved his game. You know, he was trying to be a Steph kind of, you know, to Oklahoma. And just, I'm like, you can't build around this dude. It's totally different.
Oh, and it's really different when you shoot 43% from the field and 33% from three ball. That's not cutting her.
And then, do you see, they kind of let leak yesterday. They're like, you know, they're allowed to trade him. The front office was given permission. So it's like, they're messing with this dome here before this play-in game.
Right. And Lord knows his dome's not quite there all the time. It can get rattled a little bit.
Yep.
So what do we have here in the East? I mean, come on. Is it just the no-brainer? It's Boston versus Giannis and the Bucks.
Yep, except they're flip-flopping this year. Big Giannis is going to win the East.
Yes, he is. And so that means we've got Golden State versus Milwaukee. And this is exactly what I said at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, the trophy's heading back to the East Coast with my boy Giannis. That guy is a joker. They don't call him the Greek freak for nothing. He is pure domination.
He is solid. The thing you'll see in the playoffs, though, is that when they get to play each other multiple times and they back up, they try to make him shoot those mid-rangers a little bit more. And then he's not great at the free throw line. So if we're going up against Coach Kerr here in the finals and the ability to scheme, I still am going to lean with the Warriors to go back-to-back.
Yeah,
then the health is so big for Milwaukee with Middleton.
Yes. They definitely need to stay healthy throughout for this to work. But Jan is just a joker how bad that guy dominates. I mean, he really is the freak. The guy's just the way he dribbles up and down the court for how tall he is.
Yeah.
I love him. I love his game. He's great.
Good personality, too. So he's easy to root for.
Yes, and on that topic, just a little plug here for Giannis. The movie about him is legit. What's it called?
The one on Disney.
Yep. That's a good one, ladies and gentlemen.
True story, how they came from Greece.
Yep. Very, very good. It's good. It's good for the kids as well. Kid appropriate.
Yep. We've got Big Giannis's signed jersey up in the boys' room.
Oh, that's right. You want to tell listeners about that real quick, how that worked? That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. One of my son's school aides was super nice, and we'd always talk hoops at school, and she's like, oh, it's like my son works for the team. And I was just like, cool. So we'd always talk throughout the year. And she gave me a couple like hats and shirts and stuff throughout the year. And then right when school was ending, she surprised me. It was a signed All-Star jersey from Giannis. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
They're going to be shocked at this. So we framed it and it's up in their room. They were juiced.
And they'll appreciate it even more when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one to end it on, unless you have anything else to say here, big guy. So we both have the War Dogs and Milwaukee coming out. We just differ on who the champ's going to be.
Yep. I like the Warriors. If Wiggins, you know, gets in play here eventually, I think that even helps him some more. But I like GP2's back on the squad, so I'm going Warriors.
Oh, and also we will be chitting every Tuesday. We'll continue to be coming on the air on Tuesdays. We'll continue to chit the NBA playoffs throughout the rest of the season.
Yep.
So we'll have some more picks for everyone.
Yep. Keep looking at Twitter and Instagram at Bolt Brady Picks. Bolt throws some stuff on there, like he said. So keep an eye on that for Day of Games. It'll help you out. But we appreciate it. Keep writing the reviews on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.